So maybe you could say the good news is it's only for a short period of time, right?
That's true.
We have therapies that we have to deal with for a couple years sometimes that are not easy to give. But this is one shot and you're done, right?
Yeah. I mean, in general, it is one shot and you're done. But that one shot is pretty scary and intense when you see cytokine release and how quickly in some people it can come on, or even recognizing the delayed neurotoxicity, it can be very scary. So, you know, perhaps I'm being maybe more cautious, but I truly believe that there should be a little bit of a lag before it's available everywhere because I worry about safety.
What do you see in terms of the time sequence? And I don't know if there is a typical patient in terms of when you see cytokine release, when you see neurologic syndromes, and when you see tumor response.
I do think that there's differences in the timing to neurotoxicity and the timing to cytokine release syndrome between the different products. In terms of efficacy, I don't really see a huge difference, partly because the numbers are so small. And so I'm going to withhold judgment on that just for now. You know, certainly when you look out in the real world, and at ASH 2018, you know, we saw several presentations about CAR-T being used outside of clinical trials. And I think what was optimistic there is that people who would not have qualified for the trial, either based on performance status or some comorbidities, actually seemed to do, you know, similarly to people who were on the studies themselves. But the total number of patients reported is still on the smaller side. So in terms of comparative between the three products that are furthest along, I just think it's too early to say. The other piece is that there are competitors to the current three products. There are off-the-shelf CARs where you don't have to wait to generate it from a patient. There are others where the CAR product actually has two targets, epitopes that they target. And I think we're going to see a lot more about this in the future.
So I was interviewing Nupur Rajay, who was involved in the same seminar that you were, but she was doing the myeloma part of it. And we were talking about CAR-T. And, you know, there it kind of doesn't seem like it has the same arc, so to speak. You know, it is effective. It bumps people out a little bit. But it kind of doesn't sound like the same story, in, for example, in diffuse large B. So I want to ask you about mantle cell too later. And Nupur and I, we were talking about the fact that it kind of reflects the basic biology. You know, when you think about myeloma, you can't cure it. It's a long-term disease. Diffuse large B cell, you get a shot and sometimes you cure it. Does that make any sense in terms of kind of maybe what we're going to see moving forward?
Yeah. I mean, the story in multiple myeloma, I think, has been very eagerly awaited to see, you know, what kind of activity is going to be there. And we know that CAR-T is also being tested in solid tumors. And if it works there, I mean, that is a complete game changer for so many people. But the challenge is that with CAR-T, I do think in diffuse large B-cell lymphoma, you know, in some ways we got lucky in that we have an appropriate target, CD19. We have a disease that is responsive to T-cell activation in a way that maybe multiple myeloma may not be. And as Dr. Rajay was saying, you know, this is a disease that you can get remissions and sometimes cures. Whereas, you know, for an indolent disease, or not indolent so much, but, you know, multiple myeloma, an incurable disease, the biology must be just completely different.
So we'll see where that heads. I want to move on, actually talk a little bit about mantle cell, but I keep flashing back to that triplet. I was just thinking ibrutinib, lenalidomide, and rituximab, immunologic effects.
Yeah.
Like, what would you expect the immune system's doing if you give those three drugs?
Right. So, you know, going back to the follicular lymphoma experience, because I was part of that, and that study really told us not to test this triplet further, at least in follicular, you know, there are immunologic effects. In fact, we saw in the paper that Chaitra Rajani published in Blood with ibrutinib R-squared in follicular lymphoma, we saw some hypotension, we saw rash, we saw fevers. You know, there was certainly something that smelled of an immune activation process, even if it wasn't completely explained or clarified. Why we don't see that in diffuse large B-cell lymphoma the same way, you know, with Dr. Weston's presentation, I don't know. But certainly there is an immune activation component to each of those drugs.